It's the Daily Talk Show, episode 752.
It's Weekend Banter and the full Gronk squad is here. Little roll call, Georgie boy.
Hello?
Nah, you fucked it. It's meant to be present.
Present.
Jess?
Present.
Yep, see. Got it. Sevs? Okay.
Present.
And Josh?
Present.
Always present. Harry Lodge is in the building but and he is present, but he has no mic, so.
You love that. You love referencing people without microphones.
Just trying to bring the vibe into it.
Well, it doesn't... I feel like as a podcast... Do you think it's a good... Is it necessary?
I don't know if it's a good call out.
It's in the building. I'm just trying to bring the energy for the show.
Yeah.
You Debbie Downer, both of you.
I think we could bring the energy without it. Not without you, Harry. We love you, Harry, but you just don't have a mic. The clapping is very funny because when we had Dom on the show on Thursday... If you watch back the video,
the start
of the video, when you introduce Dom, you'll see Sevs do an open hand expression like he's going to clap.
And what happened? Did you clap?
I clapped under the table. I really should have leant into it.
You couldn't hear it at all.
Hard, yeah.
But you could see him on the YouTube. Yeah. Okay. If you're committing to a clap, go for it.
Yeah.
I just think we need to get better at actually... knowing whether we're going to clap or not.
Let's just get a clap sound effect.
I need to get that set up.
Or just clap by yourself. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's all fine.
I would have appreciated that.
What if you joined in if I clapped?
Definitely.
To be honest, I'm surprised Sevs is here this week.
Why?
What you did earlier in the week. Putrid. Oh, it was a mistake. Remember how you're using the chopping board and you were eating your capsicum? What happened?
Oh, yeah. Well, so I came home from work and we had a freshly stocked fridge. And so there was red pepper.
He lives at the Grand Hyatt.
Oh, it's great. There was red pepper and there was hummus. And this is like the real primo organic hummus.
How much is the hummus?
It's about...
Ebola?
Beg your pardon?
Yeah. Obella?
Did you hear Ebola?
Yeah, I heard Ebola.
No, it's called... I think it's just called organic.
It's in the name.
Hummus. Yeah. It's about between $5 and $8.
What color is the lid?
Like a light sort of brown.
Well, the yellow one is the classic big Yumi's. Tub of Yumi's, yeah.
Yeah, no,
and then the red one is
it's a primo.
When you can't afford the Yumi's.
I don't think you can get it at Coles.
Okay.
So that's how primo it is. It's like IGA or...
I mean, I think Coles is pretty primo.
Have you been to Coles?
Maybe
Glen
Coles
Ferry?
Local. Yeah. But anyway, so that was in the fridge. And so I went and got some red pepper and I started cutting it on this board that had a bit of cauliflower on it. I was like, oh, okay, that's all good.
Yeah.
And so I finished one red pepper and I started cutting my second one because I was going to make dinner and I was just going to have like an omelet. And so I went back to the same board and my brother Sam is on the other side of the room and he yells out, oh, no, don't use that chopping board. I was like, oh, why? And he's like, oh, I've just had chicken all over it.
Oh.
And so I've just cut my red pepper with the same knife as the chicken and the same board.
Oh.
And so the thing is, when I was eating the red pepper, there was this little like thing on it. And I thought it was hummus.
Describe it. What was it like?
Well, it was like sort of a little bit like sort of like hummusy raw chicken color.
It was an offcut of raw chicken, you Gronk.
Yeah. And so, I put my, I tasted it, I touched it, and I licked it.
I'm so sorry.
I was like, okay, well, it doesn't really taste like anything. And so I was like, I better just wash it off just in case it's not hummus.
Dude.
And so I washed it off. But I took on salmonella.
You took it on. That's why I'm proud of you, mate.
Yeah.
Because he didn't get taken down.
Does anyone know what salmonella actually is? How does it actually work?
It's no
bacteria, isn't it?
So why do chickens get it?
I don't think it's the chicken that gets it. I think it's the bacteria breaking down and then causing.
Okay, so chickens don't. Okay,
I don't. It lives in the specific thing. No.
Here we go.
It lives in the intestines of animals and humans and is shed through feces.
Okay.
And so, yeah, but this is the point. Does a chicken have it before it's been sent off to, you know, become a chicken burger?
Or does
chicken
it get developed? Like, I guess you think that it could be developed.
Well, I thought it was surface. It could be on the surface. So, like, if you, a dirty, disgusting sponge, which you hate, Josh, if that had it on it and then you're just sort of spreading it all around the kitchen when you're wiping down. I mean, we had this discussion yesterday, just where, you know, learning the quirks of producer Jess. She doesn't like a lot of things. No. But then again, you ate tuna sushi yesterday, so that's not that fussy.
No.
A lot of fussy people wouldn't ever go near tuna sushi.
What things don't you eat, Jess?
It's not so much what I don't eat. It's mostly what I have to do to prepare the food. So, like, for chicken, for example, I have to get all the white, like, veins and stuff out of it. Or if there's blood, definitely. I can't deal. I actually cut off most of the chicken breasts before I cook it for anything.
Fair call.
Yeah, thank you.
You buy 500 grammar and it comes out at 120. Yeah.
Like, I had so much offcuts the other day that I made my dog sick. She ate too much.
Oh, my God.
Like, that's how much I cut off. And then eggs. Those gooby bits, white bits that are connected to the yolk.
So when you crack it and then it's in there.
And it's about, like, what if you're red dots and stuff like.
What if you're at a cafe and you get poached eggs? What happens?
I don't because.
You don't get it.
No, really? Because poached eggs, they don't do it properly and they've got the white goobs on it.
Yeah, that's what
I'm saying. It's not cooked properly, no.
Well, they're not getting rid of it. What about meringue? If you were making meringue, would you try the whipped, sugary fluffiness of?
I feel like you're not making meringue.
No.
Not doing it?
No, because also the smell of eggs when they're like, cooked like that.
I've never smelt eggs. What do eggs smell like?
When you cook them. When you scramble them, it's a very distinct smell.
Yeah.
I use garlic oil.
Has anyone in this all right, Ramsey.
Yeah.
All right, Gordon. Has anyone in this room cracked into a hot, you know, making poached eggs, cracked in a rotten egg? Yeah. Have you ever cracked a rotten egg? No. Oh, my God. Rarely. It's once in my life and I've eaten a lot of eggs. Dude, I cracked this rotten egg and it was the worst thing ever because the steam is pushing up.
The smell.
Yeah, it's like if you pee in the shower, it really sort of brings up the smell of the pee because of the steam.
Yeah.
This happened. I nearly vomited. Like, it was the closest I've ever come to just, like, vomiting. It is so bad, dude. A rotten egg.
Really?
You hear about them. You hardly have them. But, geez, they're bad.
Even though we make fun of all of this, I think that it is, like, the quirks are what make friendships, don't you think?
Oh, 100%. I mean, we bonded over that, getting sushi this week, just listening to your quirks. Yeah, there you go. But then, like, you said you're fussy with food.
Yeah.
But I reckon no one's more fussy in this room than Mr. 97 because he hasn't explored in life. Have you had oysters yet?
No.
That's a good one for you and Gracie, baby.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
Well, she loves seafood, so.
Well, Grace said that was one of the meals. Would that be her final meal? Or would it be the meal that she would cook someone? I remember seeing in Discord.
Yeah.
I don't want to call you out for not knowing your friends.
I actually just can't. I can't remember, to be honest.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in Discord.
She does love seafood, though.
A couple of other quirks of producer Jess, not in the Discord. Turns out you don't know how to use your Apple iPhone.
So, has your credit card expired? What's happened?
And I actually don't know. It shouldn't have. I don't know why it's not working. Mm-hmm. And so, as you know, I've been in Bendigo and the card's in Melbourne, so I'll try to do it tonight.
Okay, and then you can download the app.
So, I just need the CVV or whatever it is.
Being in Bendigo, any extra love for Bendigo Bank? Like, because when Dom was talking about Bendigo Bank, there's something about, not to be offensive, but there's something about a regional name being in a bank where you're like, how good could it be?
I mean, wasn't Bendigo a part of the gold rush? Like, there's
Bendigo is, yeah.
Man, you've been, Josh?
To Bendigo?
Yeah. Like, the huge sort of old buildings, like historic buildings that are still there. Like, the Shepparton, you've got everything was knocked down. It's pretty much just a new city. And then you've got Bendigo, which is historical.
And so, Bendigo Bank, were you a member of Bendigo Bank?
I was, but I moved my money elsewhere.
Okay.
I know.
What was the experience like when you were a kid? Because you grew up in Bendigo?
I did, yeah.
Was that like a big experience going to Bendigo Bank?
Yeah. So we had all of our mum and dad still have their banks there.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, going to the bank with mum and dad was always a thing, I suppose, like after school and whatnot. But yeah, we used to do these. Did you have Dolomites as well?
Yeah.
Like an equivalent.
For Bendigo Bank.
What did they call it?
I can't remember. But, yeah, we always had a really good savings account that we'd just pop money in as we went.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do remember like the Dolomite, they had like the yellow piggy plastic saver? Sort of thing.
Yeah.
Piggy saver?
Piggy saver? Was that it?
Yeah, yeah, potentially.
They still got it.
still got it.
But it's funny because Bendigo Bank is kind of where, like, if you wanted to stay in Bendigo and kind of live there and start a family and that type of thing, like, a lot of my friends have jobs at Bendigo Bank.
Really?
It's like the place to work.
It's like Aldi.
Yeah.
Because Aldi, you get $23 and you get to sit down.
Where's Aldi from, though? It'd be like
Germany.
It'd be like everyone from Germany working at Aldi. That's like what you do if you're still in Germany.
Yeah, I mean,
you know what I mean? The Bendigo thing. Mm. It's like Shepparton's got the cannery. Like people who live in SBC at Mona.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. And so there's a bunch of these sort of areas.
Well, I guess it's the Melbourne industry thing. What's the big industries in Bendigo?
Probably gold's still a thing. They've got the Fosterville mine out there that is still mining for gold. Mm. You've probably got the Bendigo Bank and maybe construction, I'd say.
And they're building stuff in Bendigo?
But it's also because it's a growth area for Melbourne as well. So you've got the freeway, so it's easier sometimes to just, do it in Bendigo and then transport up to Melbourne or around, that Goldfield region.
One of the other quirks that we heard dropped from you, Jess, was that you've done a boxing match.
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
yes.
Look out, George. She's right next to you, mate. She's going to
punch on.
Give you enough.
How did you end up in that sort of situation?
Well, I've been boxing for over 2 years and they do a fight night twice a year. So I went to two or three of them. And then the last one, I was like, maybe I'll do one. And then, that's just how it happened. It was just 8 weeks of sparring and training and, next minute I was in the ring.
Well, you've got PJ from Jason PJ. Mm-hmm. I understand when it's connected to content, we'd probably do most things,
When it's gear. Yeah.
When it's gear, I mean, it's technically she's getting paid to fight.
Yeah.
It's part of her job. That's a freebie. You're just throwing it in there. What did you win or what happened?
Undefeated champ.
Oh, really? Oh, clap. This is when you clap.
Thank you.
Undefeated.
And I actually had to pay to do it. So how disappointing was that?
How much?
It was
the classic Tommy Jacket question.
Yeah.
It's on everyone. $60, $65.
No, it was $600.
Oh.
But if you sold a certain amount of tickets, you would get it back. So, and I did. So it was, I technically, I suppose, didn't pay for it, but I could have lost that money.
It's like a musician or something going to a pub and having to sell a certain amount of drinks, or like the comedians have to do that.
How many tickets? How many people did you?
25 at $65. So I had a really good crew there.
Yeah,
it was really
solid.
Fun. Yeah,
solid. And what about the loser?
I knocked her eyelashes out.
Oh, yeah. I guess it's better than teeth.
Well, that's true,
They do grow back your eyelashes.
Yeah. Do you know what? The fight's actually on YouTube still, if you guys ever want to watch it.
We'll definitely put that. Yeah. We'll put that in the Discord, which you won't be able to see. Yeah.
That's amazing.
I don't
want to
see it again. But she had the fake eyelashes on. So,
don't grow back.
No, but I don't know why you would put that on before a match. But she came out and I just remember looking at her during the match and seeing them all over her face just scattered.
And did you have a song that you came out to?
Yeah.
Really?
What was it?
Partition by Beyonce.
Can you just give us a couple of lines?
Well, it's kind of just the bass at the start. It's just like, and it just keeps going. That's a big bass drop.
Okay, yeah, great.
I can't even remember it. It's like, driver roll up the partition, please.
No.
How long did you last the whole fight or did you TKO her?
No, I didn't knock her out, unfortunately. Okay. But
Jay Savage, Jess.
I was, it was unanimous, so,
How many rounds?
Three two-minute rounds.
That's solid.
And I've never, that was the hardest,
Well, because there's adrenaline too and your heart is just thumping.
Yeah.
It is so hard.
Did you get hit?
Oh, yeah.
Did it hurt?
Got me in the throat, actually. There was a point where my neck was just back and I was like, I don't know how I'm coming out of this, but,
Were you angry?
Yeah. As soon as she did that, that really fired me up. And you can actually see it. Yeah.
I can't wait after this.
Yeah, do you think you got more punchy in real life?
Yeah, Every time when I'm around my dad, yeah. I'm like, come on, let's spar.
Mace goes to the gym and starts looking at his abs. You go to the boxing ring and start punching
hitting
up your dad.
So
the sparring, any sort of tips for how to spar properly?
Don't do it.
Really?
It's just cover your face essentially because it really can hurt.
Okay. And so at that point, should you just not, you probably should just use boxing pads.
Yeah. Yeah. Just use the bags or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, sparring, you do get hit. It's like you can get a broken nose from just sparring even with headgear on.
Well, in year 10, we had like a fitness, like you had to pick a PE, like a physical education thing, and there was all different sports. You had to pick one, and one of them was fitness. Where we went down into the gym and you got to use all of the equipment.
Yeah.
And me and this guy, Matt, two of the biggest guys in the in that course, we got to spar.
Yeah.
And so everyone else was like doing fitness stuff and we were just beating the shit out of each other. It was good fun. I feel like you can learn a lot about yourself. What did you learn through the process?
That I can set my mind to something and actually achieve it, which was like halfway through, I was like, what the hell am I doing? It wasn't fun.
Yeah.
Like training wasn't fun. It was an hour and a half, three times a week plus PT once or twice a week and then running on the side as well. So it was like drive and determination. So.
And you were saying you had to like do a weigh-in and everything.
Yeah.
What's the deal? So, like, how does all the weight divisions work?
So, because it was just, I guess, like a casual thing with my gym. Like, it was a proper fight
night. It's not a casual thing when you're paying 600. You've got 25 of your mates. That's like, a casual thing is going for a coffee, you know, and walking, doing a bit of. Was it in the evening?
Yeah, it was in the evening. We had footballers and stuff there. It was actually a big thing.
What about podcasters? We'll come to the next one.
Yeah. You should come host it. They have one of those people in the ring. That's what you could do.
Yeah. Oh, I could definitely get into the bow tie.
Yeah.
Stuff.
Yeah. The whole uniform.
And so, what's the deal with all the different, like, so you're saying it's casual?
Yeah.
Is there a weight division? Or?
Yeah. So it's just whoever signs up and then they have to monitor you throughout the 8 weeks, and then about 2 weeks out they start pairing you up, and so because it's difficult if you're not working towards a certain weight range, you have to put on weight or lose weight before weigh-in, and so I had to drop 5 kilos before weigh-in. Which,
so do you like what's the water like, how do you is it cut?
So
cut?
in the week leading up to weigh-in, I was just eating protein like eggs and tuna.
Oh, you're that would have been worse hard. Nightmare. Yeah. This was hard for you.
Mentally tough. And then like literally 2 days before, I was barely drinking any water. And then straight after, it's just like consume.
What did you eat when you
I went to my friend's house and we had chocolate, which is probably not great, pasta and garlic bread.
This is the night before.
Yeah.
And then how did you feel the next day?
I felt fine. Yeah, it was all good. And then I woke up and I had porridge and I was so nervous that day. I had to force myself to eat. It was,
I feel like my confidence physically versus what I can do physically is very different. Like I could look at anyone and go, I could belt the shit out of you. You know what I mean?
If there's one person who understands or knows how to box versus someone who doesn't know how to box, you're fucked.
Yeah.
Unless you get a lucky shot in to the jaw, you're in trouble.
Do you think, like, I'm very comfortable when it comes to, like, walking the streets of Collingwood, it can feel a little bit shady. Like, I'm comfortable using weapons. I think, but I think that maybe that's my superpower is ability to use keys, use, like, I think, because I did level one self-defense twice.
How long ago?
So, you level one or two?
Level one. So, I just did the one and then they offered it again and I did it again.
Did you fail and they were like,
I don't know what happened. It was like,
invite him back again.
It was around the same time of the sparring stuff.
Okay.
But I learned.
Year 10.
Actually, I've even done in the office. Remember I said I could get out of a headlock?
Who
have we done this?
Yeah.
Did you get out?
Well, no, because the difference between having a year 10 student doing a headlock and Tommy, who's taking the shit real seriously and wants to fucking kill me, like, it's a bit different.
Dude, if you're in a, if you get into a headlock with somebody who knows how to do a headlock, and I don't even really know, I just know the base, like, there's, you're completely cooked. Yeah. That's why jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, they're not half-assing it.
No, but it's like, at a point, you are in a hold that when you move more, it goes more. So it's like literally just like as you move, you are choking more.
It's crazy to think how fragile. Like, isn't it crazy to think of how fragile we are?
My God.
You can just get hit by a car, done.
But that's why we talked about this. It was like we convince ourselves that, or you almost like just live with removing the thought that you could be gone at any moment. Because we are so fragile.
But then you look at like when I'm walking along Hoddle Street, just take someone to push me. In front of a car.
Well, on one side you go, we're so fragile, but then on the other side you see the junkies around here that put their bodies through hell, heroin, drinking,
and they're still going,
and they're still around. Like, there is one guy that I used to see when I was a probably 16-year-old kid, heroin addict. Sometimes he looks like a zombie. Sometimes he's like out off heroin, just not, probably not high at that moment, but he's been around for so long, abusing his body.
It's crazy.
And he's still alive. It fucking blows my mind.
Yeah. It's, I was, when I was at the supermarket the other day, seeing people who are drug affected with kids, that's a hard one.
Oh, man.
Like, because you see, but you just like, because you're like, oh, what's the, they're obviously trying to do their best.
Oh.
But at the same time, you're like, what's the, you know, how's the kid going?
Oh, mate.
Yeah.
It's absolutely no good. Mm. Anything more on that?
No.
On the kids thing, though, it's interesting trying to explain to kids what words mean. You'd think, like, trying to explain what words mean to adults, kind of easy because you use other words that you don't have to explain. But a kid, every word you use outside of the one you're trying to explain is something that they probably don't understand, especially when they're three. So, in the car, we're trying to explain to Bodhi what funky means. Try and explain what funky means.
Well, funky is like to groovy.
What does groovy mean? This is to a kid, not to me, not to an adult, but just think about, just try this as a little challenge.
Yeah.
Explain something to a point where you don't have to use words that a kid wouldn't know as well.
Do you know what cool means? Do you reckon he would know what cool means?
He could, because he know, but not to the cool, as in like you are a cool person, like you're so cool, dude.
So I think I'd explain it like
temperature wise. He understands temperature.
So funky, I would probably explain it in like symbols and stuff. So I'd say thumbs up, funky, sunglasses on, funky, cool music, funky.
Is it?
I think that's a good explanation.
Yeah,
you think?
That's probably an approach. I reckon.
All right. Well, what's your approach?
No, I mean, I think that's probably the best approach.
Thank you. Jeez, he came around. That is an approach. Really? The best approach. Thank you.
All right, Trump. Your approach is the best approach.
What was that accent?
I don't know. It's
and so, but yeah, how did you explain it?
Well, Amy just started using all these other words, and this is why I thought of it, because I was like, he doesn't get that either. But it was funky. It's a hard one.
How did it come up?
Maybe we had some funky music on.
And you said, oh, geez, this is funky.
I didn't. It was Amy's conversation that I was listening to with Bodhi, and I was just laughing, thinking, this kid has zero idea what you've gone from, the one word he didn't know, to all these other words he doesn't understand.
So, what happened at the end? Did he just give in?
He fell asleep. No, he didn't. He just doesn't know. It's a balloon. But it is, like, the English is quite complex. Like, you say cool, but then cool has a heap of meanings.
Yeah.
So every word has a heap of meanings that you just are hoping that they get.
Yeah. Well, there's like Spanish, there's caliente, which is hot. But then there's like multiple ways that, like, frío, I think, is like cold. Like, there's two different types of cold, and one's referring to if you have like cold water versus the weather outside's cold.
And then in Russian, you can mix up the word. So, I love you has to be said in the, you know, that sequence. I love you for it mean to be meaning that. Like, love you, I. In Russian, you can say it in a different sequence.
Okay, sure. Well, that's like...
They don't have it like the English language.
Mm-hmm.
Can you speak a language, Jess?
No.
No. Okay.
Bendigo.
any Bendigo quirks, like any sort of language that's sort of specific to Bendigo? Ballarat has...
does it have?
We spoke about it and it's moved to Sydney. Copycat from Ballarat.
Yeah, copycat from Ballarat. Yeah.
Any sort of sayings that have come out of Bendigo?
No, but there's this thing. There's a town that's close by called Castlemaine or Castlemaine.
Yeah.
It's a real debate. And we also have a street called Pall Mall. But is it Pall Mall or Pall Mall?
It's in Monopoly as well.
Yeah, Pall Mall.
Yeah. Pall Mall. Pall Mall.
Pall Mall.
Is it Pall Mall in Monopoly?
Don't know. That's how I say it. Yeah.
But is it?
How do you say it, Josh?
Bree said Pall Mall.
Yeah, I'd say Pall Mall
this week, but I said Pall Mall.
Pall Mall.
Is it Castlemaine or Castlemaine?
Castlemaine.
Castlemaine.
Newcastle or Newcastle?
Newcastle.
Newcastle.
No brainer. Yeah.
Well, it's a castle. It's spelt like castles.
Pakistan or Pakistan?
I don't know.
Pakistan.
I've never been. Can you tell us?
I don't know. It depends who you speak to. I think it's just like I don't know which is right, because people will say like the stands being like Afghanistan, Pakistan. Mm. Pakistan. But I think I say Stan.
Pakistan.
Have you been?
Pakistan, yes.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. I was there for 3 days. I was doing filming for Envato, the tech company, and we went on a Pakistan International Airlines flight, which... They just were in the news like 3 weeks ago for one of their planes going down. But it was KL to Lahore, and it was the only direct flight that we could get. And so, Naysan, my mate, we went on this plane. We fell asleep because there was huge delays. It was like 24 hours of delays.
Oh, no.
And we're in KL, and we were just sort of like at the airport the whole time, and we're sleeping on our gear. Anyway... Finally got onto the plane.
Protecting your camera.
Exactly. And so after all of these delays, we get on the plane, fall asleep straight away. We're in the emergency exit, and we get woken to an announcement saying they did English as like the second, like they had the first language and the second one was in English. And they're like, we don't feel comfortable going over the ocean. We have engine troubles and we're now flying back to KL,
God. Oh, my God.
And so the other thing too is like the carpet, like it seemed like one of those like older planes where it's like there was definitely ciggies and stuff that were smoked here previously. You know, it's like almost had that sort of vibe. It didn't feel that great. I don't know whether I'm butchering the memory, but I remember like looking at the emergency door. And there was like a padlock on it. And I was like, oh, fuck. Like, this is looks so different to what I'm used to. And for the 30 minutes, Naysan, my mate, he's very, like, his whole thing is it's like he was just about to turn 40 at the time. And he sort of prides himself on not caring about death. He's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to die young. And, you know, he would eat whatever he wants. And so on this trip, he would eat whatever he wants. And I'm like, man, you can get diabetes. He now has diabetes, which he can't, like, for someone who's like leaning into it and being like, I don't care. Like you can sort of point out and be like, told you so.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So he's focused. Like Jess sets him onto something.
Exactly.
Achieves.
And so we were in and he loves cereal. When he goes to the US, he gets cereal. But anyway, we're landing in KL and I'm freaking the fuck out being like, oh, we're dead. Like this is going to happen. Yeah. And so when it was coming to land, I was pretending to be scratching my leg, but I was getting in the brace position. Like and like, Naysan was like back to sleep. He was like, you know, if he's going to, just thinking about the cereal that he's going to eat when he's off. But yeah, so we ended up after that, we're like, fuck this. Cause they're like, it's going to be another 2 days for them to get engineers in to fix the engine. And the engine, that was the reason why there was the 24 hour delays beforehand.
Did they tell you that or no?
Yeah. They were like, oh, we're just working on stuff or whatever. And so we ended up booking we contacted, you know, the corporate airline, the corporate travel agents. Mm-hmm. So we called one of them on Skype and because we'd booked all of our stuff through that, and we went on to Skyscanner and we found two flights that were, it was like $1,500 for the two of us to get to Lahore via Dubai with Emirates. We're like, okay, perfect. It's like a protocol. We've got to go. We've got to contact the travel agent. We contact the travel agent and they said, oh yeah, we can do those flights too. It's going to be $5,500. Oh. And we're like, you got to be kidding. And so, fuck it. Don't worry about it. We'll book through here. We then go onto the website and it had gone up price in the time that we'd...
What'd you pay?
So, we ended up then getting into a new... we ended up going into a new browser and ended up getting the good price again. Oh. But that's the weirdness with this stuff is it's... like all those travel sites, they're tracking your cookies and all that sort of thing. Mm. We used, there's a service called Flight Fox, which they've pivoted their business. But what their business was it was like online travel hacking. And now they do it for like corporates and stuff. But they would do these things. There's all these travel hacks where it's like open tickets and things like that. So we went to Macedonia and we went on three different flights. And by doing on three different flights, it ends up being way cheaper than if you just go direct.
Mm. For the inconvenience.
But yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure that Fox business, what is it? Secret?
Flight Fox
have probably pivoted again.
What does it say they're doing?
They're still doing corporate, but you can also, they've got a little button say, book a personal trip here.
Mm.
So, oh, I mean, all those businesses would be so struggle street at the moment.
Yeah. Well, you can get like very inexpensive flights like AirAsia and stuff. Remember Kappa Flapper? when we had Kappa on the show, he was like, he had to work out the cheapest way to get to Europe, to London.
Yeah. Took him days.
Yeah.
Oh.
Took a train, all that sort of thing.
Horrible. I was just thinking about these like secret announcements. I remember hearing this thing about secret announcements at airports. Like what they actually mean.
Codes and
stuff. Codes that they're using. And I just found this site, 12 ways airports are secretly manipulating you. What an interesting thing. Like, has it, none of us have been to the airport
recently
since this shit has gone down. No.
What are some of the things?
They make sure you can see the tarmac. The signs send subliminal messages.
Is there any mention of the SSSS on the...
what's that?
On your boarding pass? So that happened with me because I went from... Pakistan to Heathrow and I'd been growing this sick ass neck beard, right?
No one's ever used that sentence. Yeah, it was sick ass neck beard.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was like really big. But anyway, at Heathrow, a guy going from Lahore, and it's like they were, you know, real funny about like extremism and all that sort of shit. And so I ended up getting interviewed by the federal police at Heathrow. Sick and then Nasan is just so like Nasan laughs because you know, he's Persian. He looks like the typical person that would, you know, get racially profiled or whatever. Yeah, and so his joke is it's like, ha, they're going to you because you're with me. But they
we should put up a photo of that.
Of my neck beard.
You did look suspicious.
Yeah.
Anyone who's let their neck beard go that far.
It was a bit full on. And so anyway,
he's planning some dodgy shit.
Oh, yeah.
But so I would just let himself go. But yeah, when I then went on to a future flights, when we were leaving Heathrow, like 2 weeks later to go to the US, we got like our boarding pass, got a double beep. When we were about to board the flight, and Nasan turns to me, it's like, we're getting upgraded. I was like, fuck yeah, this is great. Like, just come around here, take your shoes off. And so what had happened was we didn't find out until we were in the US, but there's a thing called secondary screening. Mm. And it will have on your boarding pass, it will say SSSS. And so for 7 domestic flights in the US, I had this. And it was rare because like when... like we were checking into Delta or whatever, they were like, oh, look, they've got a secondary screening. Mm. And TSA then fills you up, does all that sort of thing every single time. And it backfired when we were in Alabama and Nasan said, he's originally from Chicago, he's like, got to take you to a gun range. And so we went to a gun range and I had a go at it, which is the scariest. Gun ranges are so fucking scary. Like, I wouldn't recommend
shoot machine guns. Didn't you? Machine guns or?
No, it was just like the classic. Like, he was very, like, almost fetish, you know, fetishizes the whole thing. He's like, oh man, you got to pick this one. It's like, you know, doing all the things and you get to pick off the board, like, what your target is. And so, like, you pick your papers and they put it up or whatever. But interestingly, we went to a place called Gun World initially, which was this huge place out of Florida. And because they were legit, when I gave over the passport, they're like, oh, 3 months ago, they just passed laws where if you're not a US citizen, you can't be behind the glass of a gun, you can't be in the gun range. And Nason's like absolutely spewing because we'd already let off fireworks the night before. He's like, I'm spewing. He's like, what could we do? And the guy's like, look, we only know this because we're like the Apple store of guns. If you go to anywhere regionally, they have no idea about this stuff and just give your driver's license instead of your passport.
Go to Samsung down there and
yeah, exactly.
Just get a store inside of a mall.
So that's what we did in Alabama. But then the fucked up thing was every single time you get go through the secondary screening, they swab all of your stuff and they do a test. And I didn't realize this, but the... because I had used the guns and then gone straight on to using the laptop, there was some sort of gunpowder or something, yeah, residue. Course. And so it started doing, you know, when you're watching like one of those border security and goes, doo, 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 doo.
Oh, no.
And so then they took me out the bat. Like basically I went from secondary screen to third screening.
Yeah.
But the third screening was, I mean, the only difference
that's
is.
That's when they found the squeegee from when you're horse being
exactly. No, the only difference between third screening and second screening is rather than tapping your nuts with the back of their hand, they go front.
Uh-huh.
Really?
Which is almost an upgrade. Depends how you look at life.
I can't believe they actually touch your balls.
Yeah. Yeah, they just, they're not using their fingers.
That's so invasive.
Yeah, so they're just like, they're pushing. Well, how are they going to find stuff?
Oh, I don't know.
But even then, I feel like just if you're just palming it.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't nude.
That's what I mean. Like, are you actually going to feel much?
If you're feeling a gun or feeling something you've just shoved in there.
Well, the thing is, they sort of, it doesn't bother me.
No, I mean, it's a part of it. I mean, think about what we're going to have to do now. It'll be temperature checks constantly. Mm-hmm. You were going to go to New York for your 30th, Jess. Had you booked anything?
No. I was going to go to Europe.
Europe.
Yeah.
Europe. Okay.
Yeah.
And so you hadn't booked it. Yeah.
No. I was going to wait and see what happens, but I was meant to go in like 4 weeks. It's so sad.
Well, how about we go a bit European at the office? Get a few.
Yeah, we could do a Euro night or something.
Yes.
Yeah. Sure. That could be fun.
Okay. Great.
That sounds good.
Maybe, isn't that thing? I wonder if we're ever going to get the travel that we got, like this idea of just being able to, like we did 36 flights in 3 months.
That's crazy.
Going all around. Like, is that going to ever be able to happen again? Like just being able to so easily jump to all these different countries?
Maybe for the elite. For the ones with lots of money, because it might be
private.
Really expensive or private planes.
But then they've also got to prop up all this stuff as well. So it's like if the airlines are struggling so much. But then I guess you got to think about like where would you guys feel comfortable going? Like if you had to go on a trip right now, fly somewhere internationally, where would you go?
Oh,
Kiwi land.
Oh, yeah, New Zealand.
That doesn't really,
part of the Commonwealth, outside of the Commonwealth, up there in London. I don't know. I mean, your friend Jess, who was living in New York, has come home, but had coronavirus in New York.
Yeah, and apparently a lot of his friends, like they all got tested, whether they felt it or not, and they all had it.
Really?
Yeah. So it's just swept through there.
Yeah. I mean, so there's many things to think about now. I don't know.
It's full on.
Hawaii?
Maybe something that's like mountainous, like something where you're hiking and not necessarily hanging out with people.
Mm.
I don't think the appeal's there at the moment. Like, you just don't want to get on a plane.
No.
Really?
Bendigo's seeming pretty good.
Yeah.
Do you want to do a trip down there?
Definitely. Yeah. Can we talk just before we go about this first homeowner's grant stuff? So, what's the deal? Do we know?
No, not homeowner's grant. It's a building grant.
Yeah.
So, what's
the
difference?
You need to have a house or have a property that you can build on. There's a whole bunch of stuff. I don't think there's much interesting in the building thing. Because I think it's out of most of our scope.
So it's 100. So I think I heard yesterday it was 150, between 150,000 and 700,000 is the cost of the whole build, which includes the land. And they give what, 30 grand or something?
Yeah, I mean,
25, this, wasn't it?
Yeah,
they've done these schemes for years. The first home buyer, first homeowners. There's a bunch of stuff that you need to qualify. Interesting connection to that, though. Your mate. So, did you see the video of ScoMo out at a building site,
the grass,
giving a you know, a presentation about what's going on?
That's right. Yeah, my mate Dave, his mum was in the press conference on the lawn.
His mate's mum got told to get off the lawn. Yeah.
So for people who don't know, there's seeding grass, or like,
yeah, I think
is the and I know how funny people get, especially dads. It's a dad thing that if you get your front yard seeded, which is, let's be honest, it's got to be cheaper than turf. Well, you're taking a bet.
I think a lot of people do it depending on, like, they either turf an area and then seed on the outside or something to sort of grow out, or they, you know, do both, or they just go full-blown seeding, which you need to sort of rope it off.
Mm. And it's complicated. Like, it's a complicated process and you end up with more weeds. It's
it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the ScoMo, Scott Morrison, was doing a press conference. They must have just found some sort of, like, housing estate block and, you know, a bunch of new houses to make it look like, yeah, building's going on. We've got these grants happening. And then midway through him giving a speech, out comes a owner of the house. He looks so disappointed. He's just like,
that's just
mate, I've just seeded lawn. Can you please all get off? ScoMo handed it great. He's like,
he did, didn't he?
Yeah, sorry, mate. Sorry. Yeah.
I don't think he said so. No, no. Everyone get off, get off. Yeah.
I think he said sorry. Yeah. Did he say sorry?
No, I think he said
sorry. Yep. Sorry, mate.
Apparently,
because he said sorry to them.
No, I think he said all good. Like, no, because there was a thumbs up. But I think because I was reading the comments, never read the comments. But there were people that were like, oh, you know, ScoMo, he's a top bloke. But then there's people like, classic ScoMo, like, didn't say sorry, which I don't think
I got the vibe that he said sorry. I don't know. It must have just been the way he sort of, he was like looking really apologetic.
I think it was a really nice gesture. I think he handled it very well.
Yeah.
But it's so funny where it's like, you can do everything right, but if you trip up the words or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, half these people probably haven't even watched it and then just see other comments and start commenting.
Yeah.
It's hard. But, mate, never step on a man's lawn.
Yeah.
No, lawn, seeded lawn specifically.
Yeah. Apple Podcasts has been going off.
Oh yeah!
Thanks to me calling people ungrateful fucks on the show.
I mean, I've actually got a favorite review.
Oh yeah!
Great. It's from an ungrateful fuck.
Is that what it says?
That's literally the username. Yeah.
Can they get through Apple's podcasting reviews?
Nah, it's asterisks.
Oh yeah,
it's all good.
Classic,
though.
No, classic.
Great. And the subject line: the best free content. An awesome podcast that quickly dominated my content consumption. Think radio banter mixed with deep stuff. On my morning walk or on the drive to work, wherever I am, it's always a good time to listen. Thank you so much for providing quality content for the past 18 plus months of my life. Quick shout out to Shameless for mentioning you exist all that time ago. Sorry for being an ungrateful gronk. Sunny Coast represent, should definitely do EP 1000 up here. See you guys. TJ.
Nice. TJ.
Yeah, signed off TJ, yeah.
Thanks, TJ. You ungrateful. Actually, not anymore.
Any others?
Very grateful for you.
Yes, we've got a couple. Interesting chats, funny banter. This is from AJL3213.
They've got the best usernames on
I love reviews, I love this.
Love listening to the gang and their guests. Some very intelligent, with a fair whack of wise cracks thrown in. Conversations, both between themselves and with their guests. Great variety of topics. It's a safe bet choosing the Daily Talk Show for interesting and relatable conversations. Love you, Gronk.
Yep. Grateful. Grateful for that, Gronk.
Lovely. All right. Well, enjoy the rest of your Saturday, everyone. I'm trying to work out what protein I can have next.
Have you got half your bar? It looks like you've got half a brownie bar.
Yeah, half a bar.
He's on that.
You can smash it.
Yeah.
He's on that hunt.
Yeah. Stir fry. Stir fries are great. Just shout out for stir fry. Don't you agree?
I love a stir fry, but
no, I'm actually going to shout out salmon and zucchini baked. Simple, 15 minutes, cut it all up, big salt and pepper, a little That's bit of lemon, right. Shh, nice. Done.
Zucchini doing much?
Zucchini does a lot when it's much better in the oven, roasted with some salt and pepper than it is steamed. Just a shout out.
Wow, have you
just
steamed zucchini?
You've never steamed zucchini?
No, it's either pan fried or you just do zoodles.
This guy. Yeah.
Are you like, I've never steamed zucchini in my life. Why would you do that?
I think you've told me, like, do not, like, you've specifically said
don't steam zucchini. Yeah.
Okay, anyway. It's a daily talk show.
But zoodle it.
Yeah, like zoodles. Zoodles are great.
Like a four cheese zoodle. That'd be nice.
Four cheese
zoodle. Like a four cheese pizza.
Yeah, exactly.
Defeats the purpose of zucchini when you've added four cheeses to it.
It's a lot of processing.
Keto, low carb. All right. It's a daily talk show. We'll see you tomorrow, guys. Have a good one.
See you, guys.
Bye.